problems in the spinal cord usually is in the lumbar area. After, I'm going to say probably about 70 to 80% of problems are in the lumbar area. Maybe about 20% are in the cervical area, and seldom in the thoracic. Occasionally they'll do the thoracic myelogram, but it's usually not that prevalent. So usually lumbar, then cervical, and last would be thoracic. When you do a myelogram, we'll get into this in the third semester, you have to inject contrast. It's injected approximately around the L4 level, because the nerves, as they come down the spinal cord, they start dividing out around L1, L2. So you want to put the needle in below that area. Now, occasionally, they'll put the needle in by C1, C2. That's not done too often. Radiologists prefer to put it in the L4, L3, L4, in that area. I've worked with a lot of neurologists, and they like to sometimes puncture the C1, C2 area. It's just their preference. I worked with this one neurologist, and he used to come in maybe every couple of weeks to do a myelogram. He was late every time he came in. So if the myelogram was scheduled at 8, he'd get there 8:30, 8:40. I mean, it was a routine. You know he was going to be late. He would come in, he'd put the needle in the patient, he'd leave the room, and he'd go on the phone, and I think he was talking to a stockbroker, and he'd come back about 10, 15 minutes later to complete the rest of the exam. Every exam was the same. I mean, we knew he was going to be late. We knew he was going to leave in the middle of the exam. what can I say? Unbelievable. Okay, when you do a myelogram, be it the lumbar, cervical, or thoracic, you need a scalp film. You want to check your positioning. You want to check your technique. You want to make sure everything's okay before the contrast is in there, and then you start doing your filming. So here's a scout film. This happens to be...
Are you saying scout?
Scout. S-C-O-U-T. Scout.
You know what that is?
Yeah, so this is a scout on the cervical. It's a cross-table lateral. Patient's lying on their stomach. The tube's going across, across the table. Just from looking at that, what you can pick up right away, that's not very good. Can you see from back there? Something the tech kind of missed that was pretty obvious.
There's snaps
on the gum.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously somebody wasn't thinking, first of all. Other than that, probably should be collimated a little bit better. But you want a little bit darker film because you want the contrast to stand out. And you want a fairly low KV because now we're using water-soluble contrast. You don't want to burn out the contrast with the high KV. So that's the scalp film. Then they go and put the contrast in, and the contrast is put in under fluoro. So you watch as the needle is being put into the spinal area. The contrast is injected. Sometimes spinal fluid is taken out and sent to the lab for analysis. Then contrast is injected into the spine. Then you have to do this on a tilting table. Actually, on the cervical, you have to tilt the table so the head's down, Trendelenburg, and you have to tilt it down fairly far so the contrast will run down the spinal cord toward the brain. But it's really important that it doesn't go into the brain area itself. So usually when you do a cervical myelogram, usually it takes two techs. One to work with the radiologist, doing all the filming and positioning and everything else, and another tech or a nurse or an assistant at the head end of the table, making sure the patient's chin is extended out. Because if they bring their chin down, the contrast can run into the brain, and it can cause really severe headaches.
So
you really have to watch it really careful. But, cervical myelograms aren't done real often, so usually it's not a big problem. And you have to, when we go through the slides the next semester, you'll see on the slides, the table has to tilt, and it has to tilt almost 90 degrees down, so the patient's almost standing on their head in a way. If you do a lumbar myelogram, it's not that big of a problem. For the cervical, you have to make sure you're using a room where the table does tilt down that far. Some tables don't do that. So you just can't go into a room and start using that equipment. You have to know what the equipment does before you do it. But anyway, here's the contrast around the spinal cord. And I don't know if you can see from back here, there was a little push up there around the, around the 5-5-6 area, that the disc is actually pushing on the cord. That's a good film. It's good collimation, good contrast. Now, the trouble is you can't see this area here because of the shoulders. So what do you think you might have to do there?
Swimmers.
Cross-table swimmers. Okay. Okay, this is right after the contrast was put in. This is under fluoro. So you're watching under fluoro. The needle is in position. You're injecting the contrast. And now you're making the contrast run down toward the head because the table's still down. And these are fluoro spots. This happens to be a 14 by 14 size film. Some will take an 8 by 10. Some will take a 10 by 12. Some will take a 14 by 14. Kind of depends on what equipment you're using. But this one's just 14 by 14 divided into three, so you have three exposures. And you can see the new roots coming out really nicely on this one. Again, good contrast. That's really a good film. And this is the radiologist really takes this one, but you're working with the radiologist. Sometimes he's manipulating and injecting contrast, and sometimes you're actually working the fluoro tower. You kind of trade off. And I also notice on there they have a right marker. Otherwise, if this patient went to surgery and you didn't have the sides marked, you know, what if you, hung it up this way? Know which side is which. So make sure there's a marker on the floor. Okay, then we'll go into doing CT. This is a preliminary CT scan. It's called a topogram. It could be called a scalp. There's several different names that they can call it. But what you're doing is you're lining up the patient, and then you're putting in these lines. Each one of those lines there and there is telling the CT scanner where the CT scan is going to occur, and that's called a slice. Each one of those will be a slice of that section of the body. So the tech is setting this up, getting their technique all set, telling the unit where they want the scans to start and end, and depending on what type of pathology they're looking for, these lines will either be real close together or they're going to be further apart. The closer they're together, the more scans that are going to be done, which means, the more radiation, the more images you have. And now what they're finding with some of the units we're using today, there's so much information that's being recorded, it's like there's not enough recording media to record all the imaging. So what a lot of places are doing now, they're recording a lot of these images, and then either the tech or the radiologist will come up with an image from that information and then erase all that original information in order to, create some storage area for the next patient. Every place is handling that a little bit differently now, but the new scanners are scanning so quickly and there's so much information, it's almost like overload on storage.
That's like collimation, right? The watch you're talking about, that's like collimation,
The slice is probably the best way to represent that. It's like a slice of bread. So think of the body as a loaf of bread, and you take a slice, say, right out in the middle, and then look at it, and that might be the area where the kidneys are.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, where you see where the lines are?
Yeah.
Open that, close it, right? You know what I mean? Make it bigger to the area of interest?
It just depends on that. No, that's the thickness of the slice. So the thinner the slice, the less anatomy you see in that area, but the more defined.
You're
and
talking about this, right?
Yeah, those
and you
want right
to know
there.
Whether this can go.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
No. Mainly, you just want to go through the neck area, so the width doesn't matter.
Can you?
Oh, you can do that with the computers.
Yeah, it's
kind of
collimation, right?
Well, that's probably not the best way to describe it. It's not really collimation.
You're still getting magnetic field. All
yeah, it's just the area of the body that you're looking
focusing.
At. Now, the only thing you can change on this...
Can you make it closer together and further apart?
The only thing you can change on that
is the space between
the lines.
That's
the only thing you can change, is space between the lines.
Is that basically showing where the anatomy interest is that you want to do the view?
Yes, yes. Okay. So if there's more space between the lines than what we're seeing there, then the slice is going to be thicker.
Right.
So it's not as well defined. So if you have a little tiny mass in there, if you have a real thick slice, you might miss a little tiny mass. This one, they're so close together, a little tiny mass or defect we're going to pick up.
With the smaller slices, that means there's more views rather than...
There's more views, there's more radiation, takes a lot more storage area. So there's trade-offs, Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah,
Yeah, it's not, with CT, it's not really collimation. It's just the size of the splice, the thickness of the splice.
Did you get it, though? You can't move it this way.
Well, I look at this every day, so I understand.
Okay. Okay, once you do the slice, you can do it in an axial projection, a coronal, or a sagittal. Most of the time when you look at images, most of the time it will come up axial, and that's where the tech is looking at the information. It's an axial. And then you can use the computers to produce a coronal image or a sagittal type image. Okay, this is an axial image that we're looking here, which is probably the most common. And I don't know if you can tell from back there where you're at, but we're looking at the spine right here. Can you see that? Oh, okay, right there. And then there's some soft tissue around it. That's a disc being squeezed out between the vertebrae. So that would be called what? HNP, herniated disc. That presses on the spinal cord, and then you have, you know, pain and all kinds of things because of that pressure on the nerves.
Where's the spinal cord? I'm sorry.
The spinal cord is actually right here. This is the bone, and the disc material is between the bone. So this scan, this slice is taken on the disc itself, and you can see it pushing out into the spinal cord area. If you look real, if you want to look real later, take a look at it, you'll see it a little bit closer.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And on this one. Okay, now this is an MRI of the spinal cord. Now remember, usually with MR, you don't have to inject any contrast. And even though you see the bone, right now MR is not the best thing for bone. They're coming up with new programs to show the bone a little bit better, but right now you're kind of seeing the internal structure of the bone. So if there's fractures and stuff, right now it's kind of hard to see on most MR scans today, but that's really improving. But you can see the spinal cord really well. Here's the pons coming down from the brainstem, and then you pile the spinal cord, and the white around it is the cerebrospinal fluid around the cord. So, I mean, MR is really great. The stuff you can see with MR is really fantastic. There's no radiation. A relatively easy exam, you know, you just have to lie there.
And that's a normal curve of a real spine.
No, that's an exaggerated, slightly exaggerated. Usually you don't see quite that much of a curve. And if you look right here, there's probably saw on the other side, you can see a compression on the spinal cord. And again, there's a disc material that's pushing into the spinal cord. And on a regular x-ray, you wouldn't see that. And on this one, to the floor. Okay. Okay, what's good about this one is at the bottom, we have the axial scan. So usually when you do the CT and the MR scans, this is what you see on the screen. You see the axial scan. And the computer has all the information from 360 degrees. It's storing all that information. So you can ask the computer to reproduce a coronal plane, or you can have it reproduce in the sagittal plane. And the computer is doing all that reconstruction. When we first started doing CT, when you wanted to do a reconstruction of one of these other images from the information that you have here, it would take the computer sometimes 5, 6, 7 minutes to reproduce that image. Now it's done within fractions of a second. So as a tech is scanning, they can put the information in and look at this up instantaneously, record it for the radiologist, you know, go to the next one. So it's amazing how fast these machines and computers are today. And each one of these represents one of those lines that we saw before in the very first one. Each image represents one of those horizontal lines that we saw on the very first image.
So is that the CT or the MRI?
I think this is the MRI. Yeah.
Maybe the sagittal.
Yeah, this is the sagittal. I don't know if you can see. These are all Corolla. People like to play here, right? I mean, when you're up close, it's a lot better. Yeah. Right. I see this far away.